The question was asked, does such concept as a curse exist in Torah? And can one curse? When can one curse? How can one curse? Should one curse? So, we had a beautiful quote here from the Pasuk in Koheles and Ecclesiastes. It says, even when you're in your quiet room, don't curse the king. So there are certain things that it says you shouldn't do. So we first find the concept of a curse in Torah. Hashem curses, right? The snake, the land, Arur Adama Bavurecha, Arur Ata Mikol HaBeima. Hashem says to the snake, you are cursed from all the animals, right? Al Gechonecha Telech. So the term Arur shows up very early in Torah. It shows up already in the story of the Garden of Eden. So there is such a concept as cursing. Hashem certainly curses. Now we move forward to Parshas Noach. Where do we find a curse there? Guys, help me out. Canaan, right. Vayomer Arur Canaan, Eved Avadim Yielechav. Noach curses his son Canaan. Boom. And the curse stays. You see that when Avram is looking for a shidduch, so he's looking for a wife for Yitzchak, he says, excuse me, you guys have a curse. Leave. You can't marry my son. So we see that there are curses by tzaddikim, by someone like Noach, which can stick. So you got to be careful. Okay, so that's we see the concept. It exists. We also see the concept in a few mitzvot. The Torah tells us that when the Jewish people entered the land of Israel, they had a mitzvah to go by Har Gerizim and Har Eval, Mount Gerizim and Mount Ebal, and make a declaration. We accept the Torah as a source of blessing in our life and a source of curse. If people do all kinds of hidden transgressions, the Jewish people accept the curse of that. So there's a curse that's declared if a person mocks his parents. There's a curse that's declared if a person tries to extend his boundaries to steal from his neighbor's property illegitimately. So we have curses in the Torah that we even accept upon ourselves. So there is such a concept. We also have a mitzvah of sota, right? And the Kohen warns her, if she was unfaithful to her husband, then these waters will be a curse, and they will hurt her. So we have the concept of a curse. Now, Yoshua doesn't curse the land, he curses the person who will rebuild it. He doesn't curse the land. We have the curses of Bilaam, though, right? Bilaam wants to curse, and Hashem makes him bless. Sounds like a curse can do something if we want to make sure Bilaam doesn't say a curse. So, we have a few rules that Chazal teach us. The Pasuk says, Pasuk in Mishle, says like this. Kasheleg bakaitz. Sorry, I went back a Pasuk. Katsipo, lanud. Kadero, lauf. Just as a bird flies off from its nest and a drawer and comes back to its nest. Kain kililat chinam lo tavo. So too, a plain curse doesn't come back to the man who gave it. That's how Rashi explains the pasuk. There are other commentaries as to what the pasuk means, but Rashi's is very interesting. Rashi says, doesn't come back to the person, right?
What does it mean by it doesn't come back?
I'm not sure what Rashi means by that. I'm not sure what Rashi means. Rashi says, just as it's as though the curse goes to the other person and doesn't come back to him. That's what it sounds like Rashi's saying.
He doesn't receive the curse, or he can't take it back?
It sounds like he doesn't receive it. The Mitzuda says a pshat that's easier to understand. He says, a bird flies out of its nest to find food. A drawer flies out of its nest because it needs the freedom of the heavens. And then they come back to their nest at the end of the day. So too, a curse that's given for no good reason comes back to haunt the person who cursed himself. And they won't go to anyone else. Ken kilelat chinam lo tavo, he says it means it won't come unto the other person. I'm not sure if you can say that's what Rashi meant. He says, lo tavo lemisho tzia befiv. Rashi sounds like he's not learning that way, unless there's a mistake in the quote in Rashi here. But the Mitzuda learns it just doesn't affect you. A plain curse. Yes? I don't know. Chazal tell us that David HaMelech, he gave a curse, Kililat Chinam. It says that David gave, let's see. Second. We have the story of David, that he gave a curse to Yoav. And Yoav said, if I owe you the death penalty, I don't owe you the curse. You had no right to curse me. Maybe you have a right to kill me, not the curse. And in fact, Shlomo agreed with him, and all the curses came back to haunt David's house, because Yoav didn't deserve the curse. Yeah? So, that's okay. Yes?
Can we go back to what is a curse?
What is a curse? So, the simplest understanding of what a curse is that just like when one blesses someone, they're wishing them that they multiply, that they flourish, that things go well for them, a curse is the opposite. We assume the utmost blessing is life, and we assume the utmost curse is death. The Gemara says, Kol makom shenatnu chachamim einehem. The Gemara says, any place that the sages put their eyes and cursed, o mita o oni, either the person died or he became impoverished, because the rabbis cursed certain things. They said, don't do that. And he who does that should be cursed. So if the rabbis cursed, then either people died or they became impoverished. What does it mean, shamta? Shamta is the first level of a curse. So the sages say shamta is shamita. There's death over there. So there is this concept that a person can curse someone else. Now, Chazal said, on the one hand, we have the pasuk that kililat chinam lo tavo. A baseless curse doesn't affect the person who was cursed. On the other hand, Chazal warned us, al tehei kililat ediot kala beinecha. Don't take the curse of a layman lightly. Because when Avimelech sent Sarah back to Abraham, he said to her, hineu lach ksut einayim. I would like to cover your eyes, he said, as he gave her back the money as gifts and as compensation or some form of coverage for what he had done to her. And our sages say he meant the curse. It should cover your eyes was a curse. He meant he had a dual meaning when he said it. He meant it should cover for what I've done, and he meant it half as a curse. And his curse came true in her son, that Yitzchak actually is blind. In our Pasha, we learn that Yitzchak lost his eyesight, and one interpretation is because what Avimelech said. So from here, the Gemara says, "Lolam al tirhei kilat ediot kala beinecha." Don't take the curse of a layman lightly. So we have a baseline. We shouldn't be cursing people, at least not unnecessarily. And another example of this is Moser Din LaShamayim. We're not going into the distinction between Arur, Klala, Nidui, Cherem, Shamta, Giduf, Light. We have many terms in the Shas for curses, and each one has its own definition. We're not going there. We're just going to talk broadly about the idea of a curse. And our assumption is you shouldn't be cursing people. Avraham Avinu was blessed. Mevarchecha Baruch. Whoever blesses you should be blessed. Umekalelcha Aor. Hashem said, whoever curses you, I'll wipe them out. Wait, that's talking about all of us. If anyone curses a Jew, then they're actually arousing the anger of heaven against them, because Hashem says, he who curses you, I will wipe out. So our assumption is you shouldn't be cursing Jews. Shouldn't be cursing. A person should be a source of blessing to the world in general. But the promise to Avraham Avinu was that Hashem will take down anyone that curses him, which includes his descendants. And so the Gemara gives us an interesting story. There was a rabbi who came to his field, and he saw a man taking figs, stealing figs from him. So the young rabbi said to the thief, "Stop what you're doing!" And the thief ignored him, kept eating. He said, "I told you to stop, stop stealing." And the thief ignored him. So he said, "He should have a halachic ostracization." He said, "He should be a nidui. He should be cursed by the rabbinic curse, which is to drop dead." So the guy looks at him and says, "Me? No. I shouldn't be cursed. You should be cursed," he said to him. "You should be a nidui." So the young rabbi was in shock that he got such an answer back. And he said, "Why do you say that?" So he said, "I owe you money. I don't owe you nidui. I stole your money. You had no right to put me in nidui." So the young rabbi ran to yeshiva and he asked, he said, "Who's right?" So the rabbi said, "He's right, not you." And that's ruled in Shulchan Aruch. We have in Shulchan Aruch a whole section that speaks about nidui. When are we supposed to ostracize a person halachically? And one of the examples in those halachot is someone who makes a nidui illegitimately. You can't put someone in nidui. And if a person says it and he has no right to do it, then the recipient is entitled to turn the tables on him. Just as happened in that story. Yes.
You said you had no right to ostracize
a Jew? Yes. Wait. Here we're talking about a halachic ostracization. We're not talking about something that happens in a community. We're talking about nidui, halachically. So we can talk about that in a minute. Okay, so we have these concepts of halachic ostracization or halachic curse. We have one more example that comes up, and that is between Sarah and Avram. Sarah's upset at the way Hagar is treating her. Ever since she got pregnant, she's not treating Sarah nicely. Sarah comes to Avram and says, "Hamasi, what's being done to me illegitimately, Alecha, is all your fault." And what does Avram answer her? What does she say? What's her final sentence? She says, "I gave you anatati shifchati b'chekecha. I gave you my maid to sleep with." Vatere ki arata. She saw she became pregnant. Vaikal beinah. And now she treats me lightly. She's my maid, but now she's treating me lightly. Yishpot Hashem beini uveinecha. Hashem should judge between me and you. Our sages say, Sarah said that sentence. That's why she died. She died first. When a person is Moser Din LaShamayim, when a person says, "God, you judge him," so then in heaven they say, "Okay, but you first." In heaven they say, "Are you entitled? You want us to get involved? You first." Now, Moser Din LaShamayim is a problem when a person had an alternative. They could have done something about it. When a person can't do anything about it, then of course they're allowed to daven to heaven. It says that the orphan who's being taken advantage of, so if he cries at night, Hashem says, "I'm listening." The orphan and the widow. If a person doesn't have the option of going to court, they don't have a way to fend for themselves, then that's one of the things they can do. But it's still dangerous, because you see, Sarah thought she was in the right, and you see, she paid for it. She paid for it with her life. So, you guys asked, what are the different curses we find in Tanakh. We had a quick overview of a few different examples of curses. We began with the idea that it shows up with the snake. It then shows up with Noah cursing his own descendants. The idea that a curse seems to hold. The idea that we find later, Avram doesn't want a shidduch from the cursed family. Then the idea that we ourselves have the curses we accepted on condition when we entered the land of Israel, and the curse that the Sota accepts if she drinks the water and she was unfaithful. And finally, we went into the idea of halachic ostracism, halachic curse, and the idea that you got to be very careful not to say it unnecessarily, but there are times that the courts can do it. It's a very dangerous thing. But there are times that the courts can do it, and it's not wished upon anyone. We ended with the discussion of he who says, God, you take care of him, which is also a type of curse. And there we said, there can be times where it's legitimate, but generally, in heaven, they come to claims with the person. They tell him, you first. It's not necessarily a recommended thing to do.